So we have reached to the highest, the culmination of everything today. Just to recap what happened today since the morning, like in the during the Pascha, the first hour, we remember we do the procession, like the denouncing of Judas from the rank of the apostles, and after that, like the veil is open, and Abuna prays the raising of the incense, and we do the doxology, the normal doxology that we do, and after that, you know, the other magnificent thing that happens is the lekan, which is the Lord washed the feet of the apostles, and the same thing also today happened. And what impressed me from the morning part of today is like the liturgy is a little bit different from the other days of liturgy, especially the part like you know, when during the offering of the lamb, we always say Kriya Laison, but at this time today, on this specific day, on Holy Thursday, we didn't say that, and it was very quiet. And it reminds me, it took me, the church has, we don't do it that way because we didn't pray the Agbia, we pray in the other, the Pascha hours, Toktotigom, and but it took me for me because those 41 Kralison that we say, we remember every time that we say the 41, the 31 is, the 39 is for the scourge of when the Lord was scourged several times, and the two are for the crown, and the other one, the last one, is for the one who was pierced by the arrow. So it took me for me when it was really quiet. It took me for me like to Isaiah 53 because he didn't open his mouth even to this evening. You have been saying it. He didn't open his mouth. So the lamb when Abuna was like taking it because he's going to put everyone's confession, everyone's sin, he's going to put on top of the chosen lamb. And though, you know, it's for me, it was the one of the things that impressed me in the morning. And after that, like, because he's for the reconciliation, we skip the reconciliation. We don't do reconciliation today because we don't want to do the what Judas did. And at the same time, also our reconciliation is Christ. Like through our we get our peace through Christ. So, it was a good experience. I encourage you to come. We always, every time we have liturgy, we do it. And it's good to be, when Abuna is choosing the lamb, that is the right time to put all our worries and our things that makes our to worry a lot, we could put it at that time. From this evening, there was some other reading also, like for the Passover, like when Moses, the archprophet, was, you know, arguing with God, if you're not going to save these people, please blot out my name from your book. And God, through Moses, was able to give mercy on the people of Israel. And later on, we see the very beautiful part of the fraction, Abraham and Isaac, like his son Isaac, when he sacrificed that everything. It resembles everything was going to happen tomorrow. So for today, with the grace of God, I have chosen on the topic of Gethsemane. So Gethsemane, Saint Cyril of Alexandria tells us, before the Lord took the disciples to Gethsemane, he gave them very, very encouraging and very suitable instruction to them, how they could be righteous and how could they be more spiritual, more pleasing to God. Because all the reading, the first reading of tonight, it was from the Gospel according to St. John. If you, most of you, maybe you could refer to it, but it was the first hour, the eve of Friday. It was the very good, what could I say? Whenever I get worried, I go to those chapters. John chapter from 14 to 17. Those are source of comfort, source of encouragement, source of guidance, because these things the Lord gave them before he took them to the Garden of Gethsemane. And in those comforting words, in the world we are going to have tribulation, but I have overcome the world, so do not worry. And do not worry about anything, like not your heart be troubled, because I am always with you. I'm going to send you the Comforter. So Saint Cyril of Alexandria, he just put it that way. Before he took the disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane, he gave them all this something that they could carry it for, with them. So Jesus goes readily to Gethsemane, and then he took with him three disciples, Saint Peter, Saint John, and Saint James. Why did the Lord took these three saints to Gethsemane? Because previously they witnessed on the Mount of Transfiguration his glory, and they know that he is fully divine and fully human too. So because they have that thing, he took them to the Garden of Gethsemane. And they will not be surprised by all the suffering that he's going tonight on the Garden of Gethsemane. And the other thing is, like I was saying, like Gethsemane, why did he go to Gethsemane, the Lord? Because it's he's the creation, he's going to restore our creation. So there is creation and there is restoration. So the restoration is, is coming now. So it's most of the fathers, they say it's a mystery. Whatever happened in Gethsemane is a mystery. We could not reach it deeply to what happened there. So for this reason, he took them. And then why creation and restoration? Because the first thing that happened in the Garden of Eden, like man fall from the Garden of Eden, all the temptation went in that garden. So to restore us back to him, to paradise, he went to that Garden of Gethsemane. And Gethsemane, as you have heard in the exposition that has been read in every single hour, it is an Aramaic word that means oil presser. It is a garden of olive trees and a presser to press oil. The garden was located east of Jerusalem to the west of the Mount of Olives over the brook of Hebron. And if olive is very bitter. So to the Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane, I'm going to read from the Gospel according to St. Mark, like he took his disciples and he said, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death." And he told his disciples to watch, and then we'll come back again to what happened after. So if humanity had lost the source of life, joy, peace through the disobedience of the first Adam in the garden, and in the garden the second Adam entered as though into an oil presser, Gethsemane, in order to be pressed by passion for the sake of humanity, in order to bring back to it, by his obedience to the Father, even to death, what is previously lost took with him, as I said earlier, three disciples. And the other thing is, in one of the books by Father Manasseh Yohanan, the Crucified Jesus. He says, during the time of sadness, the Jews or the Israelites used to, put their harps in the willows by the rivers of Babylon, like as in Psalm 137. So in this way, Christ also chose Garden of Gethsemane on the Mount of Olives for his own, like for his mourning grief. He chose the olive for its bitterness as an indicator of his suffering. And because of the dove, like the other thing is because the dove, the Monday reading, the story of Noah, brought the good news, deliverance to Noah using olive leaf. So humanity received the good tiding of salvation from death in this very garden of Gethsemane. And he continues like this: let us enter the garden to contemplate this spectacle where our eyes will glaze upon a sight to wound the heart and melt the emotions. There will see the second Adam in the garden struggling, not for his own gratification, but for the salvation of mankind. There is a great difference between these two gardens, the Garden of Eden and the Garden of Gethsemane. The first brimming with the means of joy and rest, the second infused with the sign of sadness and grief. A fertile garden and a barren one, a garden in which the creatures found rest and one in which the Creator found none. A garden where began mankind's misery and the other from where spring of happiness for the son of Adam emanate. One where we will fall and the other where we were raised. A garden where Adam was condemned and the other one where his death was paid by Jesus. How marvelous, St. Augustine says this way. How marvelous is the wisdom of the indestructible God. The blameless one is punished for the offense of the sinner. The righteous one is scourged for the crime of the wicked. The upright one bears the guilt of the hypocrite. The master pays the debt of the bond servant. The creator recovers what has been discarded by the creature. This is St. Augustine. Other marvelous things also, like when he referred to his sweat became like drop of blood falling down upon the ground. There is a very good saying from Saint Jacob of Surug. He said, Saint Jacob of Surug says, to an ill man, sweat is a good sign as it heralds recovery of health. The sweat of the Son of God fell as he worked to rescue his handwork from the depths of the abyss. Adam was afflicted with great sickness of death. Jesus came and prepared that Adam may have rest from his affliction. Through the Lord's sweat, health was restored to the ailing servant. In the sweat of his face, Adam ate his bread. But this sweat, which was mingling with sin, was not able to bring healing. And so he who without sin came and sweat once for all and saved him from his sins. In the garden, Christ was sweating for the mere anticipation of his suffering for us. So as I said earlier, it's a mystery. And the mystery, one of the makes the mystery is in Gethsemane, our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ accepted the shame of man. And I was listening to Abuna Lucas Hidaro's sermon on Gethsemane, and he was referring, like, when the Lord was in Gethsemane, he saw the, you know, the scene of the before, the present, and the future, the scene of every single one of us, my own sins too. He saw that, and then that's why he was sweat, and then he fell, and then he prostrated. So it's a mystery, Gethsemane. It is like we need to have it always in our mind, not only during the Holy Week. We need to put it deep in our heart, so then whenever we are struggling, whenever we are going through tribulation, whenever we are suffering, we could remember the Lord's suffering. And then if we put that one, any suffering, any temptation that we go through, it will be very, very, very small. And he put it, before Gethsemane, suffering was a punishment. As Isaiah, I'm going to read Isaiah 53, from 4 to 8. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrow, yet we estimated him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. So I'm going to put, it says our, I'm going to put, because even in the doxology that we do for the Holy, the Toktotigom, thine is the power of the glory. First we say, our God, Emmanuel, our God. But later on, in the second verse, we say, my Lord, my strength. So if I it gives me more sense to me, since he has borne my grief and carried my sorrow, and with I estimate him was stricken by God and afflicted, but he was wounded for my transgression, he was bruised for my iniquities, he was chastened for my peace was upon him, and his stripes we are healed. So because of Gethsemane, suffering becomes a gift, participation in the love of Christ. Whenever we suffer for the with good things, as Saint Peter says in his epistle, we shouldn't feel bad, because it is our calling. Like to be a Christian is to suffer, especially. Like the world did not change much. We get scared with all the things that are happening around us, in the school system, in where we work, all the things that we see. But the world did not, even previously for the generation, the Christian generations, that it was not, did not receive them it didn't accept them. They were suffering, like Saint Stephen and all the other martyrs, like Saint George. All everyone was suffering. So we shouldn't be disappointed. We should be always suffering. We are very proud of the cross. The cross for us is source of joy. The cross for us is source of love. So let's keep in mind all the time the Gethsemane, and glory be to our God forever. Amen.